The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Begins, and there's so much conversation going on about what happens next for the SEC, and we are so excited to welcome our next guest to the program, the legendary Hall of Fame coach, Barry Switzer, won multiple national championships at Oklahoma, won a Super Bowl for the Cowboys. And first of all, Coach, thank you for making time. We have been looking forward to this for a long time. Appreciate it.
Well, Paul, it's your damn fault you hadn't called me. You know, Wimp Sanderson in Birmingham calls me all the time. But this is the first time you've called me.
Well, I felt like we had tried. Maybe we just couldn't get through. But if you're taking Wimp's calls, then we're pretty fortunate.
I've been with Wimp, and I've been friends for a long, long time, Paul. Yeah, I really have. And he's with his travels through basketball countries. I've been with him.
Well, there are endless number of questions I would like to ask you, but I'll start with a headline that you helped create the other day out in Tulsa with your thoughts on the SEC and Oklahoma. And if, I would like to start there because it is now happening, and we're all eager to hear what you have to say about the Sooners coming to the SEC.
Well, I made the comment the other day that someone asked me, and I'm going to give them an answer, my opinion. I don't live in their house over there at OU anymore. I don't go there. I don't watch them practice. I don't evaluate their talent. I don't grade their film. I'm completely divorced from that program. But when you're 122nd in defense in college football, you got to get a lot better before you go play in that league in the SEC. There are several teams in that league, I can name you, you can name them, that are better, more talented defensively than we are. We're pretty fancy on offense, and we're pretty talented there. We got some things we do, we always have, but defense still wins for you, and I just don't think we got big enough guys to squat down and play on defense and hands on the ground and rush the passer, and that's what you got to have.
Coach Switzer, I know you alluded to Lincoln Riley, who so many people loved and were disappointed when he left, more than disappointed. Do you think that was a big factor, the entry to the SEC, for him leaving?
For his leaving, he's never told me, but I've assumed that. It was a surprise to everyone. Bob Stoops told me that Lincoln hadn't told him that he was leaving. I think his agent had been working on this for some time. You know, people got upset with Lincoln around there about how he left. I said, how do you leave when you're quitting? You call your team in before you play a game and say, hey, guys, I'm quitting. This is my last game to coach you guys. You don't say that. You got to go through the season. You finish. And I said this, how he may move for the money. They offered, he's got a $10 million contract out there. They gave him the moon to come out there. Bought him how many square foot house, 18,000, 20,000 square foot house out there in Malibu. You know, coaches move for money. Football teams, schools move for money. That's what we're doing. We're going to SEC for the money, Paul. And so what the hell is wrong with football coaches doing the same thing? he left, and I think that was a factor in it. I don't think anybody asked him his opinion. And he didn't want to play there. He wanted to come to SEC and build that program back up. He did it pretty damn good his first year. From 2-12 to 12-2 is pretty damn good.
Yeah, Heisman Trophy winner. It was a good start, and nearly made the playoffs.
And that Heisman Trophy winner happened to be at Oklahoma. That's what really upset him.
Yeah, I was going to try to avoid saying that, but I'm glad you did.
I did because Lincoln has a tremendous advantage of recruiting quarterbacks. You know, he calls the plays, he coaches the quarterbacks on the field, he meets with the quarterbacks, they design the game plan. And the quarterback's involved in doing that, doing what he can do best, and gives that the information to his coaches. And we already know that. But that's a tremendous advantage for a guy to be able to go out a head coach to recruit quarterbacks. And he has that advantage. It's better than the old defensive line coach trying to come in and start a quarterback, come play for me. You know, he has an up on that, I promise you.
Coach Switzer, you mentioned defense at Oklahoma, and obviously Venables is known as one of the gurus in college football. How long does it take to turn something like that around, that unit around?
Well, you know it takes players. It takes recruiting, and you got to get those guys. And I think they think they did better recruiting this year, and I think they did, and let's hopefully they do. We'll see evidence of that in a year or two. But, Brent spent 10 years. I know Brent. He was here 10 years with Bob Stoops before he left and went to Clemson. But he's a good coach, an excellent coach. But it's, the talent is the edge, and I don't think they got an edge right now because they don't have the talent other people have in that league. I can name you six or seven teams in the league that got better talent than they got.
I'd like to ask you just about the game in general because, you competed at a time, the era of Paul Bryant. You went right past that into other eras. And just your perspective on the game today, what's happening in it and really where it's going from here.
Well, in my era, I was head coach in the early 70s. I was playing a black quarterback in 1971. You guys didn't even start recruiting black quarterbacks, I don't know, another decade later. So the Southwest Conference. I had a tremendous advantage back in my era recruiting black players. I recruited the best players at all positions. They knew that, and you're going to play if you're the best player. And I was doing the right thing before anybody else was doing the right thing. And so that was a tremendous advantage for me in the 70s. Oklahoma and Nebraska dominated the 70s. Oklahoma was the winningest team in the 70s. And I don't know, Alabama and them are somewhere in there behind us. But Coach Bryant was smart enough after playing us against us in the Wishbone, the Blue Bonnet Bowl, to go to the Wishbone and had a great run. So that all started back long ago, but Texas was the first. I knew it. We had to play Texas every year. I studied their film. I knew what they were doing. I saw what the scheme did to people, did the defenses, and I said, this is what we need to do. And finally, I talked Chuck Fairbanks into doing it, and we made a great living with it because we, as I said, dominated the 70s, and Nebraska did too, and they kept on dominating in the 90s. We were all always ranked one or two when we were played nearly, and went to the Orange Bowl 13 times, both of us, and played for the national championship. So it was a great era for us, but it changed because everyone we don't have that advantage anymore of being the school that recruits the black player, and everybody does today. And back then, everybody was making a mistake because they weren't doing the right thing. They were concerned about other things. I wasn't. The hell with people. What my Regents or Pan thought, I'm going to recruit the best players. And winning takes care of everything, Paul.
Coach, in your first 3 years, you lost one game and you tied one game. I mean, that's one of the most amazing beginnings to a career that anyone's ever had. How were you prepared and how did you deal with everything that happened so quickly?
You forgot to mention we won two national championships and won undefeated back to back twice and won two national championships. They beat Michigan in the Orange Bowl and won one. And we were 11-0 one year. We were on probation when I took over the job. But we won undefeated and dominated. Had a great 8 of my defensive starters started in the NFL. And, just had great players. But it was a. But a time when I enjoyed the game. I in the 80s, the same way we were doing the same thing. And I tried to hire Mal Moore when he went to Notre Dame. I said, "Dad, Mal, come be my offense coordinator." When Coach Bryant went to the Wishbone, I and Mal Moore talked every week about how they were played on the perimeter, people played defense against them, and we traded film. We couldn't do it with Texas. The only other team was running the Wishbone. But Alabama and Oklahoma were tied close together. And because we weren't playing each other, so we helped each other. And so I spent a lot of time on the phone. And when Mal decided, he was going somewhere else, I offered him a job, begged him to come. And we won the national championship that year, 85, when I tried to get him to come after Jim Donovan left me and went to Texas. No, he went to Tulane. And Malson and National Coaching Convention. I didn't know y'all were gonna be that good. And I said, Mal, you've been good every damn year. You remember? And but anyway, I've always had a great connection to Coach Bryant. you know, I grew up 40 miles from where he grew up, Fort Ice, Arkansas, and I'm from Crossett, and I knew Coach. I played against Coach Brown in 1970. He was leaning up the goalpost. One of the biggest thrills for me running on the field was see Coach Bryant leaning up against the goalpost with his hat on, and me run by him on the field and playing the game. I was a sophomore linebacker then for Arkansas, and they were undefeated. John David Crow, Heisman Trophy winner. That's the game with Roddy Osmond as a quarterback for Texas A&M, and he threw a pass in the flat with them leading 7-6, and our cornerback caught it running for a touchdown. And Roddy Osborne runs him down, and he makes the statement after the game when asked, how could you run down a fast Arkansas defensive back, and you don't have any speed? He says, hell, he's running for a touchdown. I was running for my life. So it makes a difference. But, yeah, I've always enjoyed that relationship with Coach Bryant. Sat with him at many banquets back in the 70s, and a lot of my coaches played for him. Jim McKenzie, who I came with, played at Kentucky with him. Pat James, you know him. You know, sure. Pat was the defensive coordinator. He played at Kentucky at the same time Jim did. Knew all those guys and knew them well. And the LA coach, I coached with Jim for years. And Pat coached for Pat. Pat coached with me for years. But, you know, so we had that. And we'd go to Alabama and visit every year in Springs and spend a lot of time down there together. So we got to know them really well. And I always enjoyed that relationship.
I want to ask you because, I mean, during your era, you were at the top of the food chain, considered, you know, one of the great coaches of that era and still are many, many years later. And the media, of course, an easy word to use, has now proclaimed Nick Saban the greatest coach of all time. And I ask you that because you coached in the Bryant era. You coached, you know, in the Tom Osborne era. You were in that on that Mount Rushmore list as well. Is there any legitimate way to determine the greatest coach of all time?
No, you can't do that. They're all good coaches. They all have, talent. It makes a difference. But people, I remember they say Bryant could take, you know, that talent can beat yours, then he can take yours and beat you with them. And but, you know, the coaching is important, but no one today out-coaches anybody. Every coach today is a hell of a football coach. Back in my era, the dinosaur era, when you wouldn't let kids drink water and all that crap, the coaches are so much smarter today in every area, offense, defense. So it's difficult to we out-coach someone. You have teams that didn't make mistakes. And they played well, and you win the game. And talent is predominantly the key to any program. And as long as you recruit those guys, the SEC, in that area of the country, they got the best players. You take the first and second, third rounds of the draft, hell, every damn lineman is a pick in the draft. You don't get to the rest of the leagues till you get past those first three or four rounds. You know, they got the big 6'7", 355, 360 guys that squat down, they're down there, and they get them. And they compete like hell for them. Oklahoma, the demographics up here, you know, it's terrible for there's no black population in the state of Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska. It's all in the South. And with Texas, with their numbers, they've got some great players down there. But we used to get them all. We can't anymore. Oklahoma can't get them anymore. But we used to, and that's when we were really good.
Coach, I want to thank you. Hopefully we can do this more often because I was talking to Jim Donnan. I know how close you are to him.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Coach, he's my offensive coordinator when we won the national championship in 85.
And he thinks the world of you, as we all do. And you be well, and I hope you'll come back. This was an absolute treat for all of us.
Well, I didn't let you talk.
Well, Coach, that
was my show.
It was great. we got a seat here. If you're ever anywhere near us, we'll be more than happy to put you on.
No. I'm too damn old, buddy. I'm staying right here. I'm keeping my butt right here in Norman, Oklahoma.
Thank you, Coach. What a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Hall of Famer. I mean, what an honor to have him on. And this guy. You can tell he has not changed. He still spits it out and tells you how he how he feels. That is to say the least. We'll take a break. We still have plenty of time left. We'll get your reaction to that right after.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we're back. And again, how much fun was that? Going retro, I mean, the guy, one of the, I mean, he said it. I mean, I was, lost one game, tied one, two national championships his first 3 years. The school coming off probation, he won another championship or two. Picked up a Super Bowl championship, and does not mince his words, to say the least. Let's grab some more calls. CB is in Tuscaloosa. Hey, CB.
How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing great.
I tell you, that was a pretty good interview because I wouldn't know. You know, I'm old school. I was no Oklahoma Sooner fan at all. Cause I used to say, Lord, he'd beat it. He'd run that score up. He'd beat his mama's team, said, if I had nothing. But that was a real good interview. It kind of shocked me, kind of fooled me. He knows his stuff pretty well.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He sure is, and the main thing I wanted to ask you about college sports. I know you own it pretty heavy, and is all this recruiting and this portal and this money thing and swapping and switching, is that going to just get worse and really hurt college sports? What do you think, really?
CB, I don't think it will. I think it will change it, but it's inevitable. There's so much money already involved that. The idea the players are making money really isn't that surprising. I mean, we're talking about a $1 billion industry where coaches are making the $12 million a year. So the fact that a player now makes money, it seemed shocking when it happened. It doesn't anymore. And I still think the games are great. I mean, we're fans. It's not your father or grandfather's game anymore, but it's what we have. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? First time caller.
Thank you.
Just wanted to make a comment. You know, everybody keeps talking about Coach Saban leaving, and when is he going to leave? Well, nobody really knows but him. That's just my opinion. And I think when the time comes, everybody will know, and he'll let everybody know when his time has come. But who do you think will – be his successor at Alabama? Your honest opinion.
Mark, you know me. I try to give as quick an opinion as I can. I don't think it's possible to know right now because it changes so dramatically. And the timing of it will be the most important factor. One, is will there be someone on his staff that is impressive enough that Saban feels comfortable in anointing? That couldn't happen right now based on the fact that there's so much turnover. And
right.
Who is the coach out there that is the coach of the moment that would appeal to the Alabama administrators? It's going to be I offer a third possibility, a third line. Who would want it? And I say that knowing that you'll inherit a great program, but your standard is to win the national championship every year. And that's a challenge.
I think there's a possibility of maybe somebody like a Dabo Swinney, somebody from there that's played there could be a possibility.
But I would quickly respond by that. And I why would Dabo Swinney want to take that job when he's already the king of his own castle in Clemson?
Well, you know, football is a challenge no matter how you look at it, especially now with the transfer portals in place. So, you know, there would be a possibility he could come and bring whoever he wanted to with him.
Well, he could, and it's not something that hasn't been discussed. But you know, would Dabo Swinney, who's already played for four national championships and won two, and two of those against Alabama, by the way, would he want to walk in there? Yeah, he's from there. He went to school there.
Right.
But,
correct.
I dare say his loyalty to Clemson right now would be superior to his feelings toward Alabama. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Bama John, who is up next.
Yeah, thank you, Paul, for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to thank you there I got you all wrong. I thought you was a Bama basher, but I got you all wrong there. You stood up for Jalen Hurt there when the guy trying to, you know, kick a man when he's down, you know. And I just don't see how come seem like they have so much vitriol for Coach Saban, you know. I don't understand that.
Well, John, people respect Nick Saban immensely, but you know, right. Whatever he does is under the biggest microscope in the world, football, I should say. I mean, they're bigger microscopes. But I appreciate your call very much. We're heading to a break. We got a little bit long with Barry Switzer. We still have more guests to come. It's been a busy show. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And welcome back. We appreciate all of you being here. And Bob is in St. Louis to start this segment. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. I'd just like to make a point here that Mr. Barry Switzer needs to do his homework before he comes on the show. He made some sort of statement about having the most wins in the 70s. That is absolutely incorrect.
Yeah, I always thought Brian had the most wins in the 70s.
Well, in the 70s, Alabama had 103.
Yeah.
Oklahoma had 102. I know it's just one victory, but you don't come on and just make a statement like that without doing your homework.
Well, something tells me he probably knew. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't want to correct him because I wasn't 100% sure, but I because it's been 45 years, but I tended to remember Alabama having the being the
yeah.
owning the 70s.
Well, I had to Google it, but because I thought Alabama had a better record. One other thing about Switzer, he's a pompous butt, and the reason nobody likes him because he is self-centered. Not only that, he was handed the best high school football player ever and ran him off from Oklahoma because he berated him. He didn't appreciate his talent. And to me, that's not a good coach. I mean, you had the best man out there, and I forgot what his name is right now, but you knew what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, Bob, thank you. I'm sorry you didn't like the interview. William is up next. Hey, William.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I'm going to contradict Bob a little bit. I love Coach Switzer being on your show, right? And I love the interview. Something that was said in that interview, right, I wanted to make sure that was pointed out. So I'm just going to say this, right? Barry Switzer and Paul Bryant grew up 40 miles from one another. Think about the level of wins between two men that grew up 40 miles from one another in probably one of the most poorest parts of one of the poorest states in this country, right? There's like nothing there but that. Tom Tuberville grew up right there in Kansas.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yeah, sure did.
You've got Freddie Akers. You got Larry Lacewell, right? You got Ken Hatfield from right up the road from all of them. It's just a phenomenal area for coaches. If you do the research on it, it's like
I thought that was very interesting. And you know, I mean, they really, you don't think of Switzer and Bryant being in the same era, but for 9 years they were.
It's a little bit of overlap.
Yeah.
But yes, sir, I appreciate you having them on the show. Great show, Paul. And look, this, you know, the dynamic's changing with Texas and OU coming in here, so it's going to be a lot different conversations and a lot more.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, but listen, I'm not about to fact check Barry Switzer live on the air. He was entertaining, and you know, like him or not, and apparently some did not. Vance is up next. Hey, Vance.
Hey, Paul. No, I don't want to beat up on Barry Switzer. Like he said it with his own words, he's getting older. But, I mean, I could say that he said he played against Bear Bryant in 1970, but that was just a casual mistake.
Yeah, no, I mean, I knew that was – I knew when he said that that was impossible because Switzer was coaching them.
Yeah, I mean, and without a doubt, he was an extremely colorful coach and successful. But I really think it might have behooved the man because no matter what mental state he's in, he knows damn good and well that Miami schooled their butt 3 years in a row, and he could not play with that football team. And had not Miami not got, I'm sure along the way, they screwed up that year when they were saying bye-bye Bosworth in the stands.
Right.
And I'm sure they screwed up probably.
No, Barry let a couple of national championships slip away in the 80s, but hey, who doesn't?
No, but, you know, I'm just saying that Miami, and by the way, he also shared a national championship in the 70s, which I don't hear many coaches ever say.
Well,
was
that, you know, that's why I was curious when I, because, I mean, they were on probation during that, during his first 2 years.
And, you know, but, you know, he is a colorful guy. He's very interesting. I enjoyed hearing him, by the way. But I guess I'm being a little stickler here, too, but I'll never forget those Miami-Oklahoma games because they were fantastic. But
oh, yeah.
Oklahoma could not play with them because at that time they didn't have the speed.
No, Vance, thank you very much. A lot of reaction to Barry Switzer's comments here today. How about Drew in Lexington? You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Just wanted to bring up a point I heard in his conversation with Coach Switzer was him and the Bear trading information at certain times for certain opponents, which I thought was pretty cool to have that ace in his pocket he could refer to as necessary. Seems like their relationship was well enough to call upon each other, which I thought was pretty cool. And then the rivalry games, I would love to just keep the tradition alive and maybe just extend the season a game or two to fit in the new rivalries, and let's just see where it takes us. I mean, I know we can't really go against NCAA.
Yeah, Drew, you can't do that right now for this reason. You have 12 games, you have an SEC championship, and then you have this 12-team playoff that will make that impossible. But I appreciate your call. Thank you very, very much. Let's continue with Andy in Ohio. Hello, Andy. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call, the first-time caller.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm up here in Cleveland, Ohio, and I am representing the SEC proudly, let me tell you. It's hard. I'm sorry?
I said that's great. That's quite a place to go from the South.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. I'm actually originally from Shreveport, Louisiana, and I'm a huge Georgia Bulldog fan, have been all my life. And had to choose Georgia because back in the 70s, and I'm sure you remember, my daddy was a huge Ole Miss fan, and you didn't even mention LSU in our house, and Ole Miss was so bad, I just couldn't pull for him, Paul. So I went with Mom. I knew I couldn't get in trouble that way. But anyway, I'm just calling to ask you and make some comments about Georgia football. I find it funny that everybody's hating on Georgia because they're winning now. And hell, they hadn't won anything since Herschel and Buck Blue and Terry Hogue and all them were there. Now it seems like they're in New Alabama. Everybody's hating on them because they won back-to-back. I just wanted to ask your honest opinion, what you thought about Georgia three-peating, especially with them having Bobo now as a new offensive coordinator. And do we even know who the quarterback's going to be, sir?
We don't. Most people think it will be Carson Beck. That's a logical guess, but that would have been a good guess a year or two ago. Georgia will be the favorite. That's what we know. We haven't been down this road before. It's never happened. Alabama was the last school, I believe, that had a legitimate shot in 2013. They were number one. They were number one until the 12th game of the year, when they lost on the kick six. So they made a legitimate run at a three-peat, but nobody has done it since. Jeff is in Missouri. Hey, Jeff, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I'm just calling about Barry Switzer. I think he was a legend. I just don't understand a couple of the callers, like the one from St. Louis, dogging him. You know, he's in his 80 years old or whatever. I mean, he's going to maybe he just don't remember a few things, you know? And then plus, yeah, you're the other guy called and said he got spanked by Miami three or four times. Well, whoop-de-doo, look what Saban's done. I mean, he's lost games. I mean, everybody loses games. They're not perfect.
I just think I think Barry is one of those coaches that, you know, because he's such a straight shooter, he will rub some people the wrong way. But listen, I don't care whether people liked him or not. I thought he was a phenomenal guest. And whether his memory is perfect in his 80s, of something that happened 50 years ago, whose is? We'll take a break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are back, and Jaden is in Ohio. Hello, Jaden. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I just wanted to call in and give my opinion on they're talking about Georgia. As someone from Ohio, I obviously have some sour feelings about them, but I believe that they're the new Alabama. I think they got the leadership from top to bottom. You can even see that with people that don't see the field, maybe.
Yeah, thank you very much. Interesting point there. Harold is in Georgia. Hello, Harold.
Hey, Paul. How you doing this morning? This afternoon, excuse me.
We are doing great. Thank you, Harold.
Appreciate you taking my call. I was just called, the people that call in about Mike Bobo being the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
I think one thing that people that kind of forget, of course, Kirby and Will and Mike, they both played for Coach Donnan.
Right.
And Coach Donnan's in Athens, and I think that's a big asset for all three, all of them. I think, you know, I think Coach Donnan helps them out and stuff like that, and I think it's just going to be just a big thing for Georgia, and I think you're exactly right. When Mike was coaching for Coach Rick, he didn't have the defenses, but I think it's just a good move for everything.
Well, Harold, I mean, Kirby Smart knows what he wants to do offensively, and he was able to make a move last year after Dan Lanning left. Nothing. I didn't see any difference in the Georgia defense, and I think he's looking. I mean, he knows what a good team he has. He knows he's got a big challenge at quarterback. And is this the time you bring someone else in, someone totally new, when you have a former coordinator sitting there in the next room? And I think that's what he ended up doing. People can say whatever they want, but just because it's his program doesn't mean it's the right decision. But it's the decision he made, and I think he feels pretty comfortable. I don't think he didn't waste a minute. I mean, he knew Munkin was leaving for weeks, or he thought he was, and he was ready to move Bobo in the next moment. Shirley is in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, Shirley.
Good evening, Mr. Feinbaum. I hope that you're doing quite well, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Shirley. Thank you. We're doing great.
Thank you. I wish to comment, sir, upon the absolute exceptionalism of Coach Don Staley of South Carolina. This is a positively riveting young woman whose story far transcends basketball. She is confident in terms of the life goals that she established to achieve. She is in the process of creating a dynasty at South Carolina or wherever she may be in the future. I had the absolute pleasure of watching her team's mesmerizing performance against LSU preceding the Super Bowl, and rarely has there ever been displayed upon a basketball court such dogged determination, such unit cohesion, such precision of focus. It is truly splendid to contemplate where this young woman's heights may ascend in the future, and she will be an absolute pleasure to watch, I am sure, for years to come. And thank you, Coach Staley, for your patriotism, your representation of women's basketball and during several Olympics games, your excellence in your role at the University of South Carolina. And how magnificent is this, Mr. Feinbaum,
well, Shirley,
considering
thank you very
February
much for
is Black History Month and March is Women's History Month. And we have here an American that straddles so superbly both of those acknowledgments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I just only wish I could speak that clearly, because that surely was like listening to an English professor. I thank you very, very much. Solomon is in Florida. Hello, Solomon. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey.
I have a request and a question.
Okay, sure.
First request. I'd like to see you get one of your handy-dandy people to put a picture of Charles Manson next to I-Man. I think they were separated.
Solomon, we can't do it for this reason.
Yeah?
We're afraid the Manson family would sue us trying to, you know, for the likeness.
Excellent point. But I swear, I saw that picture and I went, God.
I mean, by the way, I don't know when I've heard a more troubling call from I-Man that we heard today. That was fairly concerning.
Well, I hate to admit it, but if it comes on, I'll change the channel. I have one question for you.
Now, by the way, I hate to admit this too, but when I-Man comes on, I change the channel. But what an hour with Barry Switzer. We're coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.